Coming to you live from downtown Detroit, this is Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep with your host, Joel Elkanen.
This is a volatile puppy here, isn't it?
And Dennis Dick.
I've bitten a penny. I will buy the stock for a penny.
With everything you need to start your trading day. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to this Tuesday edition of Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep. Spencer Israel here with Joel Elkanen and Dennis Dick on the show today. We've got Target reporting this morning. We've got Ross Stores, Urban Outfitters. We've got strength in the biotech sector from yesterday. So a lot of stocks are popping this morning. Square, all those tech stocks that we had kind of talked about on yesterday's show looked like they were in favor. We are going to cover the Nordstrom news from yesterday, and our guest today is Nick Shaheen, the author of Create Income with Option Spread. Joel, how are we doing this morning in the S&Ps?
We're doing pretty darn good. We're up 11 and a quarter. Strong day yesterday, following through. Our pre-market high is up at 34.50. That's clearing Thursday's high. Above that, folks, 27.62. That's your four-day high. That's a target I have on the upside. Coming on the downside, your close at 18.50, pre-market low right there at 16 even. Absolutely no downside until we take that out. Moving over to the crude oil market, up 81 cents or 62 cents at 63.19. Gold up 11.10 and silver up 26 cents at 16.67. And boy, let me see how Bitcoin is doing here. I know that got back over 11,000, but now we're back under 11,000, trading down 5% at 10,985. Dennis, how was your first day back in the saddle?
Still recovering a bit here, and I've got a tickle in my throat. I have not been sick in probably a year. I've been kind of bragging about it to my wife because she got sick multiple times, and I did not get the flu shot, and she did, but on an airplane, lots of sick people usually on airplanes, and I was kind of worrying about it. Now I've got a tickle in my throat here, so I'm hoping it's not going to turn into anything, but right now my throat is a bit sore.
All right, well, nice movement. You got off the mat yesterday on your bet. I tried to wiggle out for a lunch.
I stay bullish, Joel. I wasn't letting you out of that bet.
I know.
You weren't getting me out.
And I had like a 20-point edge on it, and then Paul Ryan has to come out and disagree with what Trump's saying on the tariffs. And that's all this market needed. I mean, trade wars are not good. I mean, you know, going back any kind of history, you know, it's just not good. These tariffs, these trade wars are not good. The market like that. And here we are firmly back in the 2700 handle.
Yeah, and it's hard here because it's the same stocks that continue, and we talked about this on the show yesterday. The stocks that have been strong are the same stocks that were leading us before, and if you look yesterday, it's the same story. We talked about Netflix breaking out over the 300 area yesterday, and if you were buying it yesterday at the open, you had a little shakeout there where it took you out below 300, hit some stops maybe, and then it was off to the races, up over $315. It's up another $5 here this morning. Sky's the limit when stocks are breaking out. I never like to be short stocks making new all-time highs because when they open up like this, there's just nothing in there. Brand new highs. So 319.69, I guess you go to the big hole numbers, you could say 320, then 325, then 330, but there's just nothing in there.
Pre-market high right now, right on the nose at 320 even. Never been my strong suit, just buying stocks like this. You know, after they're breaking out, it's hard for a reference point. But at least I've learned to stop shorting them. So I think that that's a, you know.
That's a start, Joel.
That's a start.
So let's just look at some of the other ones that were moving yesterday. Square broke out, making new all-time highs yesterday too, which is impressive because it obviously got really beat up in the tech wreck there a month ago, got all the way down to $36. Here we are 3 weeks later when everybody's got to own stocks again, an SQ above $50. A little weak here this morning, and I was wondering if it would be weak today because we had big sell imbalances in Square and CRM yesterday, so I'm kind of watching those two at 8:30. We'll get that information there again, but sometimes those can be pesky. It's interesting the Square is down, but then I think analysts, Spencer, you said there's some analyst commentary on the SQ this morning?
No, I said that there was some Bitcoin news. Yes, this is yesterday. But I don't know if it was new news. I think that's why the stock got a pop yesterday. It was a crypto-related site, Cryptona.co, highlighted Bitcoin integration with Square. I don't know if there was any new information in that article. I know we had a reference to tweet from Jack Dorsey back in January, but that was being passed around yesterday. So,
just a big pop, though. Pops $5. And again, so you get a little pullback here, but it seems like the stocks pull back a little bit after the big pops will eventually turn around and be up again. So hard to be a seller here, even though you're at a psychological $50 level. We did take it out yesterday. If we can somehow, and I think it could open weak, because I just got a feeling there's going to be a sell imbalance in there. And I think there might be a lot of reason why it's trading down here this morning. But 50-50 is, you know, if you can take that out, that was the high from yesterday, then you're off to the races once again. So as a trader, it's always good when stocks take out those highs. Breakouts have been working again.
And double extra good number up there at 50-50 because you had a close at 50-42. So buffeting that, you know, closing and closing strong near there. So on a rally back up, that will add special significance to that area. And folks, the buyers were out, and the buyers are out in volume yesterday. You traded 11 million on Friday. You traded nearly 31 million shares yesterday. So, man, maybe some shorts finally thrown in the towel. Man, that's the biggest volume day. That's the biggest volume day since January 22nd. And that's when it had nearly a $3 leap. And it was a little bit flat the next day, but noting the volume here on Square.
Kicking myself, too, that I did not buy Micron on the pullback. So I had a list here to buy four stocks on the pullback, and I think I bought none of them. Then that was supposed to be in my investment account. And Micron was one on the list as well. Got all the way down when they were crashing the stocks down that day. We fell 1,000 Dow points there and rallied all the way back. 37.52. Here we are 3 weeks later, $53 here this morning. Cramer pumped it last night on Mad Money, saying he thought this was the best way to play the surging PC market. He was talking about the PC market coming back and how a lot of these stocks have come back that are related to PCs. And he's been pumping Micron for a long time, and he's been right. And the stock continues to go higher. Obviously, Sean Udall has been on the show multiple times pumping it as well. But MU breaking out here once again this morning, $53 here now. Big move for it yesterday through 50, through 51, through 52, now through 53.
And there's some volume being thrown around this, a couple
big
hundred.
Big time, yeah. 500,000.
Yeah, right. Yep, up on the last bracket. So you know what we got to do here? We got to go to, Weekly's not even going to do anything here. We got to go to a monthly chart here to find some kind of resistance here in Micron. And boy, you just cleared a major monthly hurdle at the 49.50 area. That's going back to April and March and April of 2001. Now you cleared that area. So on a monthly basis, where's this thing going to stop here? You see this big red candle monthly basis. You got to go back and find some daily highs in that area. And then also if you're trading this from the long side, you're looking for targets, I like to use a 9-day average trading range, just to get a, you know, an expectation of what it's going to do for the day. And boy, nice move here. I think I remember, I'll have to look at some of my records, but I think I lost money on some 18 calls in Micron.
Unbelievable. It stayed down there for a long time though, Joel. It was really dead money for basically a decade or even longer than that, because, you know, we're talking about going back to 2001 levels there. But, you know, you can see the big, you know, this was 11, 12, 2013. It was a single digit stock, had the big run in 2013 up to $30. Then came back and became a single digit stock again in 2016, down to $9.35. Now it's $52. This is cyclical, so you got to consider that as well. But, you know, from a multiple perspective, it's still cheap. Talk about, you know, all these stocks.
Oh, look at my tech stocks. My Western Digital is back up.
That's what I was going to go into. And in the chat, they're asking us, it was DC. I want to know about WDC. Cramer pumped this one last night, too. He was pumping a lot of tech stocks. And he pumped Micron. He pumped Western Digital. He pumped Lam Research, LRCX. This was all stocks that he said he had to own right now. And they all started lifting when Cramer pumps it. He's, you know, he's like an analyst there. And it will, the stocks will lift. And WDC was one that he liked as well. You still got this, eh, Joel?
Yeah.
You held on.
I held on. Cool.
You're like Warren Buffett over there.
Yeah, right. Just 80 was my bogey, and it traded down there one day, 77, traded down to 77.90, it looks like. But it closed over 80. So I'm like, okay, all right, we closed over 80. Now you got a gap to fill here. And the gap in the market is between 88 all the way up to 92 and a quarter. So, folks, if you're looking for a gap fill here, but really for this to have a sustained run, test triple digits, you got to just hold 90. It's failed. Look how many times this thing has failed at 90, you know, going back to April of last year. It's just been a
great. I feel like it's going to break out this time, though. Don't you feel like this time's different? Like we're trying, we're getting up there. You got a good running start here today. Kramer pumped it last night. I don't know. I feel like when I look at this, you've had this WDC chart like a year of consolidation between 80 and 90. And I feel like eventually it's just going to run for 100. So I think if I have, you know, I'm actually interested in this one. I think there's multiple trades here, you know, as an investment longer term, because there is still value here. But even as a trade, I think this thing's going to see $100.
All right. Well, we'll keep an eye on that. I sure hope you're right on that one.
Yeah, Spinner saying a PE is 6. I mean, a lot of these PEs on these big tech stocks are really low. Again, you've got to consider it. They're cyclical. So that whole market is hot right now. So, you know, the earnings do fluctuate a lot. But as we're in this peak, that multiple looks really cheap. A lot of people must watch Mad Money Show because Spinner's also saying he pumped Intel. Yeah, so Kramer pumped Intel. He pumped AMD last night, and he pumped Hewlett Packard HPQ. HPQ is one that I wanted. I'm kicking myself on this one, too. It was on my list to buy. Got under $20, but they just weren't down there long enough. Like, it's hard to just catch the falling knife, and that's what you really had to do on that last pullback, because if you weren't catching the falling knife, they didn't really give you a second chance at these levels. And you know, maybe they hung out there for a day or two, but they're all the way back up. And HPQ is back up at a major resistance point. So this is one that I'm not getting on board with here unless it can break out over 24. I can tell you in the book right now, there's institutional size there as well. If I go and look at the New York book at $24, I can see over 100,000 shares perched at 24. You can see, you know, some day traders in the pre-market trying to sell ahead of that. 24 is huge for the stock. And I don't know if it's going to get through it. If it can get through that high of 24.10 that we made back on January 29th, then you start talking about 25. But until I can get through that as a day trader, it's tough to buy it here at 23.80 or 23.90.
Yeah, and a little bit of a running start. Close at 23.69 to see a trio of highs, actually five highs between 23.55 and 23.88, waiting for potential breakout on that. Dennis, are you still holding your initials, Triple D?
No, I'm not. I sold it last year, and I sold it for the tax write-off there because I bought a 15. I sold it, I think, at 9.5 just because I needed some losses, and I was looking through my portfolio, and it was such a good year. I mean, I was struggling to find anything. I sold part of my GE position. Well, actually, no, I think I ended up not selling part of the GE until the new year, which I should have. But 3D was one that I did have a little loss, and I had bought it from 15. It was down in single digits, and I'm like, I need the tax write-off. So I sold it and took a small loss on it, obviously. And, you know, it's coming back. And props to the chat here because they were talking about this pre-market yesterday when it was at 11.5. I'm not sure who was talking about it. Maybe the chat can refresh my memory who was specifically bringing that up. But it was a good call.
Yesterday?
3D had a great day yesterday.
Do you know
the stock looks better all of a sudden. And you know what else? Remember, we went to the Cleveland Cavaliers game there right before I went to Disney on the Thursday night. And my friend Peter Canis has a box, and he owns Baron Championship Rings. And he's got two 3D printers. He had one from Stratasys and one from 3D. And he got rid of the Stratasys one, and now he has two printers from 3D Systems. He says, I like the 3D Systems a lot better. And I'm like, it's funny you say that because Stratasys has always kind of been the better one. But the stock started to turn around. I wish I would have been listening to Pete a week and a half ago because the stock has been straight up, actually, since I had that conversation with Pete. So here, he's not buying cheap ones. Like one of his 3D Systems, a printer, is worth $150,000. So these are big printers. He's printing his championship rings on there. So the 3D technology, he really believes in. Like he says that is the best technology. It's a matter of who the big player is going to be. I still think HPQ is going to be the biggest player in the industry, but Pete likes the 3D stuff. He says they're figuring out the problems. Like he was in this, you know, way in the beginning he had these printers, and he was always complaining that they're going down all the time. But he says they're figuring out the bugs and they're starting to, you know, not go down as much as they used to. He's on a big service plan as well, so that's another source of revenue for 3D systems that they pay the service plan on it every year. And I think he was telling me the service plan's up to like $5,000 or $10,000. It's crazy service plan to come in and service these things. But when there's a problem, they come in, you know, the ink or whatever it uses, I guess not ink, but whatever it uses, you know, they replace that too in the service plan. But he's a big believer in 3D and he likes 3D systems, the 3D systems products.
I mean, you're talking about yesterday in the chat or a week and a half when we went with Peter, but Spinner has been pounding the table on this stock for
good job, Spinner.
Yeah, for weeks, for months. I can remember when it was hanging out at $10 and then it had the dip right before earnings. And then it was the street was leaning the wrong way. So Spinner, you got to tell us where your exit and exit is on this one, because you've nailed this move. Wow, one of the best calls of the year so far.
You know what? I think this could go still. And I think there is, you know, that potential here for this to continue to go. Even when I was selling it, I was like, this is one that could come back, but I was just so hungry for looking for some losses in my portfolio to offset some of the gains. So I had a pretty big year in my investment portfolio. I wanted to offset some of the gains, so that's why I took it. But I'm past 30 days here now, so I could rebuy it. I don't know if I'm going to get the shot or not. I obviously would have had the shot 5 days ago to rebuy at the same price, but I don't mind this one.
All right, just look at SSYS. Bring up the symbol here.
It looks like it wants to go too. Well, it's come back, I guess. It was really, I don't know. It doesn't look nearly as pretty as a 3D system chart.
And was it VoxelJet one of them too?
Yeah, VJET.
Yeah, that one.
Not a good day yesterday. A little double bottom. You could argue that one. This doesn't look that great either, though. It's still that ugly downtrend. And, you know, I still think if you really want to play the 3D, I still think HPQ is going to be the biggest player in there eventually.
How about ONVO? Remember that stock? Organova?
Well, that had a good day 2 days ago.
That was the one that was printing livers, right?
Weren't they going to print an apple that we were going to eat on the show?
No, I think we were going to make you eat the apple on the show. We're like, why can't these 3D printing stocks print food and then eat the food?
No, they said they were going to print food. They said they were going to print. You can look and
print. No, they didn't. We made that up.
No,
how can you print food?
Oh, man.
We made that up.
Could someone help me out on this?
ONVO's got to get above $1.12, then it could run to $1.25 or $1.30. Of all these charts that we just looked at, I like the 3D one the best.
Okay. All right. You go into the next stock and
wait, someone sent us a pair of 3D printed slippers or shoes last year. I actually have them in my house.
Bring them in and show them. We have video now. Okay. Are they comfortable?
Wait, look at this.
I wore them like one time. They're like really small, like slippery type things. I'll bring them in tomorrow if you want. Yeah.
3D food printing.
Do you walk around the house in them?
I don't wear them. No.
How did you get 3D printed slippers?
I don't know. They just showed up at the office one day and someone said, here, have these. And so I took them home with me. I don't know if I was supposed to do that.
Bring those in tomorrow. I want to see the 3D printed slippers.
All right. Okay, fine. I'll bring them in tomorrow.
I
don't want you to wear them to bed tonight. Let me know if they're comfortable.
Okay.
Okay. 3D food printers. How they could change what you eat. And they talked about that in April. I'll find the specific information, but I think this was even back when we were at the old office when this news broke, that they had a printable apple or something like that. I'm not making it up.
You made that up. Makes things up for a joke and then he thinks they're up.
I
know you're getting old, Wenjoel.
I know. I wish Brent was here.
No, but how do you print a 3D apple?
I don't know.
What are you going to do? You get a fruit thing or whatever. I guess you get food as the base for it, and then you
This sounds
like a crazy conversation.
Come on, Chad. Help me out here.
Century, the technology is pretty good.
All right, moving on. Can we talk about Target?
Okay, we're moving away from 3D. Let's go to the Target earnings. Give them to us, Spencer.
Okay. Q4 adjusted EPS, $1.37 versus $1.38 estimate. Remember, they revised that estimate higher. 2 months ago, sales $22.77 versus $22.53 billion. So a beat on the sales, but as far as guidance goes, reaffirmed it for the quarter, the EPS, and I'm waiting to see. I think the call is happening right now. I'm not positive, but I'm waiting to see what they hear or what they say with regards to their grocery business and their e-commerce business.
All right, talk to me about the pre-market trading here, Joel. I have not been tracking the action and targets, so break it down for me. What has Target been doing? I see it down $2 here right now.
Yeah, down 214, like? Quarter million shares have traded.
What did we get down to?
We got down in the lower 71 handle, put a perfect double bottom in at 71.50, and now you're buck and a half above that. You've actually got been over $2 over that. So 71.50, that was your early morning low. 73.60, it just printed there. So those are some early numbers here for you in Target. And Dennis, you're going to crack up here. I'm just looking at my TradeStation. I can bring up different time frames, and they have a 15-second chart.
Okay.
I mean, you want to see what it looks like on a 15-second basis?
Yeah, show it to me.
There's your 15-second basis.
All right.
Oh, okay. I got it. Oh,
a little delay.
Yeah, let me do it. We're trying some new things here at Benzinga's pre-market prep with me, actually. But yeah,
tell me this is coming back. You think this is going scratch today? Is it coming all the way back, or it just could. Got a little overdone and now it's going to start to pause here?
You won't get another chance to buy it at 71.50. I'll tell you that. If you want to buy it, you're going to have to buy it.
Well, the morning is in.
Yeah, the low is in, I believe.
I agree with you. Even the Walmart, and this is, you know, something to consider. Walmart got absolutely annihilated and continued to go down. Sometimes, you know, you get traders that come and they're like, oh, it's going to do the same thing. They start hitting a little bit too much, and it's on the comeback trail here now. Walmart wasn't doing that, if I remember, in the pre-market. It kept leaking. So a little bit different action here in the pre-market. And it's so important to track the pre-market action because you have a lot of traders that simply just look at intraday charts. They don't look at the pre-market. That's why we initially started pre-market prep, was because we had the edge of always incorporating the pre-market action into our trading. That's why we talk so much about the pre-market trading on the show, because not a lot of other people really talk about it. I mean, your intraday charts don't even put it in. You know, the pre-market trading, they just, you know, don't consider it at all. And obviously, if it's 100 shares trading stock down $2, it doesn't mean anything. But when it's 271,000 shares of trade on Target, it's down $2. I mean, this is, you know, a serious price discovery that's happening, and I believe should be incorporated in the chart. So that's why we use, we use a pre-market action, and a lot of times levels that are testing the pre-market sometimes get tested in the regular session as well.
And everyone stole our idea. The TDA Network started their own morning show, Options House, TD Ameritrade. That's all CNBC, you know, now talks about. They took all our ideas from us. Do we have a patent on talking about pre-market activity? I mean, it's a travesty. I need to talk.
I don't know if we were the only traders in the world trading pre-market, Joel, but
talking about it.
There's a lot of pre-market shows out there now. That's for sure.
I'm gonna have to check with my attorney.
All right. So Walmart here has obviously already had its move. I mean, it got killed. So if you're expecting a big sympathy move out of Walmart, I think it's already had its earnings. And a lot of times people will say, oh, sympathy play. But remember, if the company's already reported, there's nothing more to expect from Walmart in this quarter. And that's why you don't often see a solid sympathy move here when you have, you know, the previous company already reporting. I'd also say Costco is often sympathy as well. Again, Costco, did we get Costco numbers yet? Are they due to report?
No, tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Costco's tomorrow. One thing of note here, and we're talking about the pre-market levels. A lot of times, if you could get a pre-market level to coincide with a daily level, you're in a lot better shape. And what I noticed here when I was going back in the 71 handle, you had a pair of lows at 71.53. That was on February 12th. February 13th, 71.68. And then you came back down on the 20th, 4 days later at 71.68 again. So if you were quick enough to notice that, you know, those three significant lows in that area, you get a bid out there, 71.55, boom. Especially if you're short. If you went into short to report, you got to pay attention to those daily highs and lows. And let's just take a look at Walmart. I know it took out the low. It hung in there for like a day or two, a little sympathy rally, then took out the low of the move. But a little bit on the comeback trail, yesterday's high in Walmart, 90.50, currently trading at 90.20. See what happens at yesterday's high. And your three-day high, that's above at 90.18. 90.50 resistance in Walmart.
One other significant stock of that reported this morning, Ciena, C-I-E-N. Here's an old tech stock that really has gone nowhere. I mean, you can go out for years and years and years. I've got a 10-year chart on it, and it was basically the same price 10 years ago that it is now. Joel will go up farther than that on C-I-E-N, but this is a stock that's gone nowhere for the better part of 20 years. Spencer, give us the numbers. Joel, tell us about what this stock did back during the bubble in the year 2000.
15-cent EPS, adjusted EPS for a 13-cent estimate, sales of a 646 for $642 million, so a slight beat on both EPS and sales.
Look at that Ciena chart that you just brought from the tech bubble. What was the all-time high in Ciena?
The all-time high in Ciena, they must have had a split or something.
Reverse split.
Yeah, 1,057. You know who would like
you to... Again, I like to bring this up like once a month when we look at these charts, and people will say we're in a bubble here. They don't know what a bubble was. 1999 was a bubble. And look at that. If you held this stock, so you, when you're buying multiples of, you know, 2, 3, 4, 500 times earnings, and or possibly buying companies that don't make money at all, a lot of times when those multiples are, the growth starts to slow down, the multiple starts contracting, you may never get back to those prices. And here's a stock 20 years ago was trading at $1,000. You know, if you consider the reverse split, and here's $20, never getting back to those prices. So you've always got to consider. That's why I'm such a still a value investor. When I'm buying something, I don't be playing crazy. And this is my investment portfolio. Absolutely nothing to do with trading. But I always want to have some type of value. Because if I'm just paying some random 100 or 200 times earnings for something, a lot of times those don't work out in the long run. They work out in the short run sometimes to continue to go. It's kind of like a hot potato if you can find the buyer behind you to keep pushing it higher. But eventually, earnings do matter. And in the long run, 20 years later, Ciena has been a very disappointing investment.
You know who would like this chart? Goldman. Jeff Goldman would say, oh, man, this thing's getting ready to go. But he would have said that in 2011, 2007. He likes those beats.
You know what? I can argue it. What's the multiple on this thing now? Now there's value in Ciena. How much money did they just make, Spencer? We'll just quickly calculate here on the show. What they make?
They just made 15 cents.
Okay, so 15. So you go 15, 30, 45, 60 if you want to just do it quick. So then it's expensive. But I think these earnings are cyclical as well. I've got a P multiple of like 3 is what, you know, they were showing on the, from the last quarter. So we know these earnings are very volatile, but there's value here now. You're buying a company that makes money. You're buying a company that has gone nowhere for a long time. A lot of other tech stocks have. Maybe it's going to be the laggard. Maybe eventually this thing can go over 27, 28 bucks. Maybe it starts to run there too. So I won't argue with you if you're sticking this in your long-term investment portfolio because there's value there.
I was going to say, before I looked at the pre-market chart, there's nothing between 24 and 25, and they took it to 25 even, but it was on less than 10,000 shares. You've pulled back here, went under 23, went to 23.55, hanging out at 24, so I'm just going to bring my focus here on the daily chart, get a little replay here. 24, that was your level. Going back on the 27th, that's part of a gap area. So, man, if this thing holds 24, I see it maybe going back up to that pre-market high at 25. If they decide to change their mind on this thing and they take it in reverse and they take it down to anywhere under 23.05, there's your last four lows between 22.96 and 23, well, last low was 23.27, but major, extra, super major support at 23 if it goes into reverse.
1 minute before I unbalance this here. Tonight, we're going to get from Urban Outfitters, we're going to get Ross Stores, we're going to get Autodesk, and we're going to get H&R Block. So that's what's on the agenda there for tonight. Just quickly, let's look at the Ross Stores chart, R-O-S-T. Some of these retailers have been very hot. This is another one that's cooled off in the last month. Kind of consolidation station here. So they're waiting for the number. If you look at this, really, we're just consolidating here between 77, 79 bucks here for the last 4 or 5 days. It's usually a little more volatile than that. So Ross Stores quiet ahead of tonight's report.
Yeah, trading up 62 cents at 78.60.
I had it overnight and I sold it this morning. So a lot of those 78, 75 trades were me. I sold my stock pre-market because, you know what, I buy stocks ahead of the report sometimes and they run up ahead of the report. Here's another one that, you know, ran up a little bit here this morning. I thought it was a no.
All right. I mean, your strategy worked out. So winning trade.
Holy cow, stop square. 713,000 to sell. We talked about the potential for there to be a big sell imbalance in there, and it is there. 713,000 to sell. That just broke there right here at 8:30. That's the opening. And if you look at stock, actually just started getting hit too on that number. Holding on 49.70.
Look at this thing. It's holding on, Dennis. It just said
it's holding on. You know what? There's going to be buyers below. This could be an opportunity. It was yesterday. It was an opportunity. So let's look at yesterday's action at the open. So Square had a huge sell imbalance. Stock open. If we look at yesterday's action, where did it open, Joel? I'm sure it messed up. I don't know why.
Boom. The opening price in Square from
right near the lows.
45.46.
2 cents off the low it opened yesterday. 45.46. Low is 45.44. So if you're looking at that, it opened at the lows yesterday and then rallied all day. You could get a replay here today. If this thing opens down 70, 80 cents on a day that we're still trading higher in the markets, maybe there's an opportunity to buy that thing on the opening print. But that is a huge sell imbalance, 713,000 shares. That's a trend now, so keep that in mind. Even though Square is going straight up, there's been a seller on the open. So we know there's some institution that's selling stock on the open. That's huge to know. Square, 713,000 to sell. GE trend as well, 408,000 shares to buy on General
Electric.
There was
news on that yesterday. What was that? There was some favorable report somewhere. Do we have it in pro?
It moved.
Goldman always teases me about this stock because when I traded at Oldie, it was the biggest component in the S&P at the time. And, so when I felt the move coming in the S&Ps, it was GE was just like a layup going one way or another. Was there an article on Seeking Alpha or something? Do we have this going into pro? Let me go over to GE News. And after he said, no, nothing. I'll have to dig it up for you. But there was a positive story on GE trading up. I don't know, man. What would make you bullish this stock, Dennis? I mean, two updates in a row.
It looks okay right now on the chart. Like you've got that low of 1390. So it started to show you some life. I like seeing the buy imbalances there again. But the problem with GE is there's always some. Yeah, and I played it, remember I was playing it from the long side there, and, talking a trade because it had that run of opening buy balances, buying, and then boom, they came out with some bad news. They were slashing the dividend again or something they came out with, and I got hit. There's always seems like there's, it'll go on a run, and then all of a sudden it'll come out with some bad news again, and they hit the stock down. The stock just can't fundamentally get it together. So even if it tries to technically get it together, there'll be some fundamental news that'll knock it back down. So it's hard to get on board on the GE train, although I will say it's starting to show some life in the chart.
Texas Mike, he's a little bit late to the Google YouTube chat. We did talk about Triple D, but since you're a new listener here, I'm going to cover it for you real quick. Really broke out yesterday over the 1150 level, not giving much back today, only down 3 cents. The yesterday's high that coincided with now 1281. What was your high from yesterday? Boom, 1287. You have your 1287 high. You have your 1281 high, which was the top of a gap area before it fell off from earnings. I mean, maybe you start to think about $13 in this one. You have it traded at 13. There's really nothing at 13. 1320 and 1307 were your highs in October. But
I think you could see $13 yeah, today.
You want it to stay. And BZ Tokyo is asking what happened in TiVo yesterday after the close. Dennis, did you see anything in TiVo yesterday?
I was getting a lift here, and it is this morning as well. So we're up just on light volume, 43 cents. I think they're talking about, so if I look yesterday, there was a couple odd lots trade up to 1575. This looks like just a oops trade though, because if I look, it was all at the same time, 625.35 after hours. It traded up. It hadn't traded all after hours. And then all of a sudden it traded, it looks like about 1,000 shares up to not even 1,000 shares. It looks like about odd lots, maybe around 400 shares. Trade all the way up to 1575. So that kind of just looks like an oops trade to me. I'm not sure. I didn't check the tape to see news tape to see if there's any news on TiVo. It is trading up a little bit here this morning as well with a couple of trades, but I don't know. This is, I think, just, I don't think.
Light volume. Okay.
Too light volume.
Are we going to bring Nick in here on the hop?
Do it.
We are calling him right now. Nick Shaheen.
He's getting his video.
He doesn't want to do it.
Come on, Nick. We need to see you out there on the West Coast. We want to see what you look like at 5:30 in the morning.
You probably don't.
You're looking at us at 8:30 in the morning. I don't look that great here. My hair is kind of a mess. I got my sweater on, but, you know, and Spencer and Joel, well, they speak for themselves. So, Nick.
Well, I have sunglasses on because the monitors are so bright. I need to dim them down.
You're up too late. You got to go to bed earlier out there. What time do you go to bed?
About 11, maybe.
So you go 10, to bed at 30. 11, and then you get up at what time to start trading?
4:15, 4:20.
You need more sleep, my son. Are you Donald Trump? Because Donald Trump gets 4 or 5 hours a night.
No, I don't know. I can't compete with that.
All right, Nick. So on your 5 hours of sleep, what are you seeing here this morning? What's on your radar? What charts you eyeing up?
Well, I've been just trading the sentiment. You know, whatever fundamental trades you have and you trade fundamentally, you have to manage your risk, your open risk, and whatever risk you want to open based on the dangers that are in the headlines. And these days, you know, I've been saying a few days ago when we were having a couple of teases, I think last Wednesdays and Thursdays, I think Thursday was or Friday morning, I can't remember, we were coming into a down open where the only thing up was fear. And literally the only thing up was fear and maybe gold. That's it. Everything else was down, rates, dollar, everything else was down. And I said, this is not natural. Something's got to give. One thing or another was wrong. So fear is what we're trading because we have 1,000 cuts in the media ticker tape. So this morning, we don't. In fact, we have maybe one good news with North Korea willing to talk a little bit more and a little bit more milder with regards to armament. So leave us alone with the headlines, and I think the fundamentals will take over. But until then, whatever trades fundamentally you're doing, you have to manage them with the open risk. So what I'm doing is just taking long positions that I think are fundamentally sound when I think the fundamentals are beaten down because of a headline that should abate. So, for example, the Boeing fear when came out, the tariffs, oh my gosh, this is going to hit Boeing hard. I was like, how could it hit Boeing hard? It may hit Boeing hard, but it's going to hit the P&Ls of the companies that buy Boeing planes, not Boeing itself, because they have a backlog. It's not going to hurt their sales. There's only two companies that can make planes like that, them and the French company. So it's not going to hit Boeing. And when Boeing sold off hard, I bought it hard and traded it for the day. And then the next day they did the same thing, or yesterday they did the same thing. In the morning it opened down for like a fraction of a second and then retested the low. And I looked at yesterday, the day before's low, and it was lower than that. So they couldn't even match the day before's low. So I went long. I sold puts and bought calls. This is an aggressive long.
So let's move on here.
Go on mute.
Kind of mute here. Let's just, could you pull up an S&P chart here for us? And
sure.
Why, it's kind of loosey-goosey here. We're in a wide trading range, I guess is the best way to call it. Yesterday, we took a good piece out of it. Let's see with your crayons in here what you got for us on the S&P chart.
Crams. Well, this S&P chart has nice lines. There are no crayons on this one. So this is the E-minis, and you know the price action has been bumping along a neckline. We went through it on the whoosh down, but it was the neckline from which you broke out a while back, early January. So when we had the 2.5 February 5th correction, we went through it twice. But we came back to it, and it has served as some sort of an area. So on the upper side, I'm looking for 49.50 because that was the big ledge, 27.49, 27.50. I'm sorry about that. So that was the big red ledge. If you look to the left, I put two arrows on it from which we fell apart completely. So if we get back to it, what are they going to do? Not too long ago, it served as a bump along to 27.80, but then we gave it up, and here we are back trying to get to it. So if we get to it, what are we going to do? So that's one thing I'm looking at. And if we do correct, will the current bounce area serve as support again, or will the bears not even be able to get to it? So many people are saying we need to retest the lows. A few months ago, everybody said, oh, you know, 5 to 10% correction, that's what we need, it's healthy. We got it, and then we bounced hard, and now everybody's saying, oh my gosh, I need to retest the lows. So why didn't you ask for the correction twice? You know, because you got the correction you wanted, and if you didn't buy, you got the bounce you should have been clapping for. And then you say, instead of saying thank you, you're saying, I need you to go back down.
Yeah,
I know. That's me. That's me. I didn't buy enough stocks on the pullback, and now I just complain. I want to go back down to get them again, and I'm probably not going to get a chance.
No, but it's not. It shouldn't make much difference for the stocks that you're tracking fundamentally, whether the indices are here or there. If you believed in the stock a month ago, but you were waiting for an entry point, I question the hesitation that caused people to stay out of those stocks that they wanted. So if they didn't like Google at 1100, or if they didn't like Apple at 180, whatever, why didn't they pull the trigger when it dropped a lot in one day, when not much changed? I mean, how many fewer iPhones is Apple going to sell if TNX is at 3? If the 10-year yield is at 3% versus 2.8 or 3.5%, it's not going to affect Apple much. So
it's just such a hard thing to do, because, you know, when you're selling off and you're going down 1,000 points, it's so hard to say, yes, this is not rational. I just need to come in here, put my finger on the buy button and buy, you know, and obviously you do it in a little different way, which maybe makes it easier, because you're selling puts that are even farther out of the money. So you're saying that this thing is not, you know, absolutely not going down to this level, or I would buy the stock there. So maybe that's a better way to do it. I mean, and then obviously you protect yourself too. So
here's the thing with that though. I didn't just blindly buy stuff when it first dipped. I tried to analyze what's going on and what are the symptoms. So on days where Walmart disappointed and it went into, you know, an abyss, and I think something else the next day, I can't remember what it was, but anyway, so I thought, okay, so here I need to see, I have a few things going on in the headline. I need leaders, which is the usuals, Apples and then the Momos, the Apples and then the Momos, and I need laggards, and these are going to be guiding me. They're I call them rabbits. So if the leaders start to lead, if the laggards find footing, those are two good signs that the fear is dying out. And on 2.9, I called the bottom, you know, hopefully it'll stick. I said, because the VIX looked like it spiked up to meet a certain level, but it was doing it on very little volume. So it looked like the, you know, the market makers are trying to get out of whatever position they had at the time. So this is, if you develop a few signs that guide you through your trading, then you can establish an entry point. So on that, I went long a few names that I liked, and some of them were aggressive, some of them were conservative, but based on fundamentals only. But I was trying to manage it around a sentiment. So sentiment is what's going on. That's what's causing all this uncertainty, not fundamentals. Everybody loves the fundamentals. Hey, how many times have you heard global expansion, a coordinated global expansion, whatever they call it? So the fundamentals are not the issue. It's the nervousness. It's this cut and that cut and whatever. So once that stuff goes away, then it should go back to trading fundamentals. So
And obviously, you know, the February 9th, I was thinking the same thing. So here's my train of thought. You know, after we had the huge rally there, I was like, you know, I think we bottomed. I was even saying that night. So I'm looking at, but I still can't get it away from this. And, you know, I just want to ask you how you get away from this. I had Micron on my list to buy MU because it was pulling back. It was $50 back in November. It got down and obviously made the low of 37.52 that day. The problem I have here is, okay, now I've identified that I believe February 9th was the low, but it had already rallied up. So now we look at it and Micron's at $42. And I say, well, I can't buy here now at 42 because it was just at 38 yesterday. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I feel like I'm paying up 10%. Well, and now at this point in time, you never get a second chance because you didn't really get that double bottom on that stock specifically. Do you just got to say, yeah, you're never getting that $37. That was the bottom. It's going to continue to go higher from here, and not worry that you're not getting the absolute bottom.
Well, In Micron, I just posted a chart. This is a cup and handle that's decades old, probably. Since 2002, it fell into an abyss that took from 2002 into 2014 to make a big, giant cup. And then another few months from 2014 to now, 2017, to make the handle, and then the breakout from there. So technically, the breakout should have more upside. But my white line that goes up is shorter than the proper technical, probably what a technician would do, because I look to the left and I see, okay, anything above this level is just the dot-com spike. And for me, if I was looking to go long Micron, I'll say I may have missed it. So I step away from it. So, but using options, it's cheaper for me to take a debit call spread at the money than you buying the stock. So if I were buying the stock, I'd say, darn it, I missed it. I'll just move on.
Coming out of the chat here, a few stocks for you. So we'll see how quick you can come up with a chart and analysis. Cars, C-A-R-S, cars.com, recorded a Q4 adjusted beat this morning of 17 cents and a slight beat on the sales as well here. And while you're pulling that, we're on the line with Nick Shaheen. He's the author of Create Income with Option Spreads. He joins us almost every Tuesday. He didn't join us last Tuesday because of our Women's Week event. But Nick, cars.com here, getting a pop in the pre-market.
So pop to what?
I knew you were going to ask me that. And, well, and let's see here. Cars is trading up $1.36 on 5,000 shares at $29.65. And in the pre-market trading, that's where you're at, $29.65. Okay.
So technically, if you pull up the weekly, I know it's a younger stock ticker, but it shows that the range had been tightening. And usually when it tightens into a point, a break will happen up or down. So in this case, it had a catalyst, which was earnings. So to me, the short-term reaction to earnings is a coin flip. Even if you have the P&L, you couldn't tell how people are going to react to it. So in this case, it's positive. And from here, you have to study the fundamentals. So technically, okay, this is, it might have a few, it might have legs, especially if they do it on volume and conviction and in a nervous market. So if you know the company, if I'm long, I don't get out.
Okay. $30 is where it traded up to in the pre-market. That's a nice even number. Okay. Also coming out of the chat here, UPS, that's a big stock. It's traded up $2.06 at $107.87 on 14,000 shares. Let me see. I don't want to throw you under the bus with any news. Stifel Nicolaus upgrades United Parcel to buy, announces a price target of $121.
I want to ask how you analyze this chart too, though, because when I look at this chart, I see the huge sell-off and you have huge support. I mean, this thing has been holding this 104 like a rock. But you almost wonder, like a lot of times I subscribe to the theory you have a move and then you have a consolidation of move and then a continuation of the previous move. And I look at this and say, if this thing can go under 104, we could be $100. That's pure technical, not talking anything about, you know, fundamentally. I know it's got a 3.37% dividend. I actually like this company fundamentally, but from a technical basis, it has not rallied when the market has rallied. So the relative strength has been terrible. And it's just kind of hanging here, even though it's up $2 today on the upgrade, maybe the upgrade kickstarts it, but it's okay. Obviously support until it's broken, but that's one that I look at and I'm itching for it to break the support so I can short it through it.
So there's homework to be done on UPS. Okay. Because they fell apart, it and FedEx, right? Because yes. Amazon headline. Right? Amazon. But that Amazon headline is old. I remember them buying Jets a while back or had rumors of buying Jets a couple of years ago. Within the last few years, I can't remember when, but regardless. But I do also know that one of them, I can't remember which, FedEx or UPS, is more dependent on Amazon than the other. So
UPS.
UPS is the one? Yeah. Okay, yeah. So the risk is real. And so one would have to do homework on saying, okay, how much of the dollar how much of the earnings is actually tangible to an Amazon? I mean, that should be somewhat calculated if you do homework. But here's the thing. I just posted the monthly chart. This is an old company that is proven. And it's one of two, basically. You either ship this or that, or the SVS, I guess. But in this case, this is a a long-term pivotal point. So bulls and bears are going to fight it out hard. Neither is going to give it up. But I can see your point. Yes, it could be 100. It could be 95. But if you look to the left, 95, another solid pivotal point,
yeah.
95 to 90. So how about this? Let me tell you this.
Talk
would you, okay. Would you sell me a lottery ticket for over a dollar that says UPS will be at $80 between now and October?
No.
Yes.
You would.
Okay.
I think I would. Joel says no. He don't do it for a buck.
You wouldn't sell me a lottery ticket for a dollar at $80 UPS.
I would. Yeah, you know why? Because I'd buy UPS $80. So I can buy it there, so I can get the box. So I get where you're going.
Okay, so the TTM now, the price to earnings trailing is 920 right now. What would it be at $80? So if it's not cheap now, it will be cheap at $80 under current macroeconomic conditions. And look what a pivotal point is, $80. This is a monthly chart. So this goes back to 2006 that I just posted. So 80 is definitely another bigger pivot point than that. And it's the bottom of the long-term, this blue and red is just a regression line. So when you say reverting to the mean is between the blue and red. So even if they go to the extreme of it, they will eventually
still not $80.
So that's a lottery ticket I'll sell all day long.
Now, when you sell these lottery tickets, again, you don't just naked sell the 80. You usually buy like a lower one, don't you, to protect yourself in case of a black swan event, or do you?
You could do that. You could do that for a credit put spread. For example, if you sell the 85.80, you can collect 60 cents. The risk is $5. So people will say, oh my gosh, you know, but that's like, you know, 10% yield on a 90% chance success.
And the risk is really 440 because you're getting 60 cents. So the max loss is 440.
Right. But not really. If you're willing to own the shares at 80, then you don't do anything. You just own the shares.
Yeah.
So even if you do the credit put spread. But what I usually do, if I sell naked puts, I usually buy, I call them sacrifice puts. So I will buy a cheaper, much cheaper put that covers me for the next couple of months. Okay. So if I collect a dollar and I spend 10 cents.
Or something that crushes the stock.
I'll give you a perfect example. I did it for Twilio one time. I sold a naked put into an earnings event out in time in the 20s. And then when it was in $40 range or whatever it was. And then I bought a 5-penny put for that week. And guess what? The stock fell like 25% on the earnings. So my put came in the money. But luckily, I had sacrifice puts that went from 5 pennies to bucks, you know. So I ended up making money on it, even though my put went into money wrong way. Luckily, I had a sacrifice put to cover me. So this covers the oh crap moment. So yeah. I call them sacrifice puts. So yeah, I tried not to leave. I don't like to sell a whole bunch of puts in markets at all-time high with the VIX so elevated. But that's when it makes sense to sell risk because the VIX is elevated. And if you believe that the nervousness will go away eventually, then all that extra juice will just deflate price independent. So if we wake up and the VIX has said, okay, I'm down to 15 again or 14, then all these premiums will go, even price hasn't moved.
All right, one more for you, Nick, before we let you go. And this is Bazun, B-Z-U-N. I think they might have had earnings here. It is trading up $3.48 at 40 and a quarter right away. I could tell you that 40.68, that's your all-time high. That took this home overnight. I had a report. That's a huge level. Nick, give us your take on BZUN.
Okay, so if you're telling me it's at 40 or something, then I definitely would not short it, and if I'm long it, I would not get out of it. Technically, this is they're taking out a high that had poked at it a couple of times, so it's a technical. It might invite buyers. Let's put it that way. So if I'm long, I definitely don't get out of it. And if I'm short, I'm covering and running for the hills.
We've been on the line with Nick Shaheen. He's the author of Create Income with Option Spreads. Joins our show every Tuesday at 8:35 Eastern, 5:35 Pacific, to give us his technical and fundamental takes on the market. Nick, pleasure as always, keeping us disciplined here. That's what we need. We'll talk to you again next Tuesday.
Tons of fun. Thank you.
Thanks, Nick.
All right, Dennis, we're leaking a little bit here.
We are.
Yeah, did we get a preponderance of selling balances or what?
No, but we've got some big ones though. Like you're isolated. So Square is still huge, and Square continues to leak a little bit too. And I think Square is going to be the one potential that just could open up, you know, well below. This could open up 49.5 or lower there if that 781,000 share selling balance holds. CRM again, 38,000 sell, had small selling balance yesterday. So we're tracking that as a trend. And General Electric, that imbalance continues to grow. It's going up further. 728,000 buying GE now. So GE is definitely still showing some life. I like GE on a pullback as a trade. As an investment, that stock's still tough to sled in. Alibaba, 94,000 to buy. Twitter, 83,000 to buy. It's surprising, but there's a lot of buy imbalances here, Joel. So the spoos are selling off here. But really, when I look at the individual stocks, I don't really see a catalyst from imbalance land. Might just be a little bit of chop. Financials are strong. We do have the TLT trading slightly red here. Actually, TLT turned green. It was red when I checked it earlier. JP Morgan, 64,000 to buy. Citigroup, 56,000 to buy. Bank of America, 96,000 to buy. Morgan Stanley, 33,000 to buy. Obviously, that's going to move significantly on the jobs number on Friday, but that we're quite a few days away from that yet to really be moving the stock. Their buying balance is really across the board. So it's actually surprising how weak the S&Ps are getting in the last 20 minutes.
All right, and Twitter had a real strong day yesterday, moving with the Square. Made a high yesterday at 34.95, backed off to close at 34.58, trading up 20 cents. Now, on earnings day, you made a high exactly at 35 even. So there is a big number for a continued breakout here in Twitter. Really didn't give you much of a chance. I traded under 30 the day of the earnings report. Next day, it traded under 30. But, man, this stock is really been strong in kind of a mix to weak tape. But Twitter, it was, we have multi-year highs here in Twitter. Let me check here on the monthly. Yeah, we haven't been in this area. You got to go back to July of 2015.
3 minutes left here. We didn't cover that many ratings. There's a couple interesting ones that we did talk with the UPS upgrade at Stiefel, but I'll talk Herbalife here. HLF catching an upgrade at Citigroup here this morning. They're upgrading the stock to buy. Man, this feels late to the party because HLF has been on a tear. Is Ackman still in it?
He's out. He's out. Ackman
got out. That news you missed. You missed that last week. That's what.
What happened? What happened?
He's out. There's not much.
What did he say? Just covered. He's out. He's eating the loss there too.
He was out, and then they had a Icon on the halftime report later on that day to kind of talk about it. I don't know anymore besides that Ackman said he's out.
He rolled into
you
puts.
Talk about fades though, and you know, people to fade, and you know, maybe some people like even fading us too, but I'll tell you, man, Ackman he's been in a slump, and you know, this one he had really wrong for a long time. Obviously shorting at a 40 and the stock got down to 20 and he'd been doing pretty good. And really, you know, it gave him a couple shots. It came back down there. Even after going to 80, it came all the way back down 20. He was in this a lot of years. So, yeah, you know, yep. It gave him some shots to probably get out flat, but this stock has just been a monster. So what was he calling always a Ponzi scheme? Isn't that what he was saying Herbalife was?
Yep.
No, but not a Ponzi scheme, a pyramid scheme.
Right, yeah, right. You're right, pyramid. And Icon said, they also announced a buyback too and a stock split or something last week. But he rolled his common into puts, Dennis. So I think his puts finally expired. And so he's out of it. And Icon came on and said he hasn't sold one share. That's what he said when he came on.
Icon was the one that won this one.
Yeah.
Where's Icon stock, IEP?
I was looking at that the other day.
Starting to show life.
Yeah, you think so?
A little bit. Oh, I mean, it's been in the gutter for a long
yesterday.
Time.
Holy Toledo.
He's been so quiet. Why has Uncle Carl been so quiet lately?
He's too busy talking to Trump and, you know, selling his...
advising Trump?
Selling his, you know, ex right before we get tariffs, you know.
That was a bad call because X went straight up. They were saying, I saw that too, right before the tariffs, but then X went up on that news. So he actually made the wrong call. People are trying to hang him and say, oh, what did he know? But didn't the steel stocks go up on that news?
They did.
So that's not like insider. That's the opposite of insider trading. That's like he was in the no. Didn't know anything. I saw the article go by too, and they're like, oh, they're tipping him off because he sold X ahead of the report. X went up on that. So I don't agree with that. I mean, yeah. If he knew, he would have been buying more X ahead of that.
Yeah. They had a
maybe
big
day. He did it backwards.
Big day yesterday. Big day yesterday, IEP. Rallied, boom, about $4. So $60 is a big level than that.
Oh, the chat's saying it was Manitowoc that he sold.
Okay.
So that makes sense if that was the case. I saw it go by, though. Somebody was talking about U.S. Steel. So if it's Manitowoc, then that – okay, Ed Parker's kidding. He's saying this Manitowoc, so it's JV Spec. That's a different story because MTW got smashed on that news. So that's a little bit of a different story. But Uncle Carl gets some breaks. He knows some people. So in any regard here, I don't think they're going to catch Uncle Carl probably on insider trading anytime soon.
All right, Dennis, one more minute here before we let you go. Any final comments here on today's markets?
Tough day. This is a tough one to figure out because we are leaking here a little bit this morning. I've got buy and bounce across the board. Just you look at this, and you had a nice two-day rally here now. So if you're coming here buying now, I feel like you're late to the party. And you can say, oh, yeah, but a week and a half ago, we were up at 279 on the SPY. Yeah, but 2 days ago, we were down 265. Now we're 272. Talk about the 50% retracement of the most recent move, 7 points. So you collapsed. I'm just looking at SPY. You go to 279 down 265 is 14 points. 7-point pops bringing you to 272. You're right there. So let's see what happens here today. It's a big day for it. If we can get up, 275 still remains major resistance, I think, because he had a couple tops there just right before the spike up there. If I go to the dates, that was on February 16th and then again on February 23rd. So I think he got some overhead supply here. So it's hard to buy in here now. So I think you're a little late to the party. Maybe that's some institutional money coming in here. Certain stocks are breaking out. Netflix, Square have been breaking out, obviously. So there is going to be certain stocks that are going to outperform. But if you're just looking at the S&Ps, run into a little resistance here.
Yeah, and we're starting to leak. We're under mid-range in the session right now, so we'll keep an eye on that. Yesterday's high, 27.75, that's going to come into play. Thursday's high, 31 even. We did take that out, pre-market high, 34.50. All right, Dennis, we're going to let you go. Spencer, you want to preview what's coming on tomorrow's show? And sure. Folks, I'm going to stay on a few minutes extra today. If there's any tickers, you want me to check some news or just take a look at the charts, we'll do that here in the next few minutes. So throw any tickers in the Google YouTube chat or in the pre-market chat.
We have Dan Ahrens on the show tomorrow. He is the Managing Director and COO at Advisor Shares. He'll be on potentially one of two guests. We may also be joined by Nate Tobik, one of our favorite bank analysts who recently wrote a book. But that's it for our show today. So you can catch the podcast on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher by searching for Pre-Market. We are about 2 weeks out now from the Benzinga Women's Wealth Forum, March 21st in Boston. Go to bzforum.com, enter their promo code PMP to get a 50% off discount to that. Like Joel mentioned, he's going to stay on, so I'm going to hop off. Dennis is going to hop off, and Joel will be on for about, I don't know,
a few minutes,
and Joel's going to run through some charts, so I will let Joel do that right about now. Have at it.
All right. First, popping out of the chat here is the cat caterpillar that's coming from, looks like, Jarrell Yates. Cat is moving up. First thing you like to do, is there any news or any news on stocks in the sector here? Nope, no news since Friday in the cat. So then you're looking at your pre-market trading. You're up $1.36, moving with the market. Having trouble getting through 152, your pre-market high. Actually, let me get your pre-market chart up here. Boom. You did clear 152. You're trading up $1.36 at 152.48. That's right near your pre-market high. Man, this thing had a rough couple days, and now it's in the rebound. So you could have a real solid bottom in from yesterday's low. Not seeing a lot at all here as far as resistance goes. You did have a close. Wow, is this way up in the 156 handle? Wow. This thing has got some room to go on the upside. You certainly don't want to see it go red. Your three-day high is way up at 156.19. So CAT getting a nice jump here, at least off the open, and holding near the pre-market high. So looking good here. Also looking Qualcomm. The story on Qualcomm is they're supposed to get the 6 board seats. No official word on that. There's still a much higher offer on the table, I believe around $80, but the company's not budging on it. So it seems to be a little bit of a floor. Keep your news on that one. You did get a pop in that. You did get a pop in Qualcomm a few days ago. I believe it was up nearly $68. Actually, if you get a pop on the news again, there's a pair of highs, 67.36 and 67.63. So let's call 67.50 some retracement. Also here coming out of the YouTube, John Atchison, MU for a retracement. And whew, I don't know what kind of retracement you want to figure here. This thing just keeps making new highs and the pre-market trading up $1.29. Maybe for Micron, if you're looking for a retracement, maybe if we could get near yesterday's close, and that's $1.30 away from here right now. 52.36 would fill the gap. 52.03 was the closing price. So maybe you could find a quick seller down into the lower 52 handle. That's what I'd be interested in. The S&Ps are rebounding off that low, up 10.50 at 27.29 even. Let me see if I can find any more, any chat coming out of our pre-market chat. Ed Parker is making some comments here, but okay. Well, it looks like you guys are out of tickers here. Thanks for joining us here on Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep, and we'll be back with you tomorrow morning.